Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to visit with Minnesota's Adjutant General and the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for our year in review. And to start out the show today, we have Major General John Jensen with us in the studio. He assumed duties as the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard on November 1st, 2017. Major General Jensen earned his commission in 1989 from the United States Army Officer Candidate School, Fort Benning, Georgia. Upon commissioning, he served in a variety of command and staff positions in both the Iowa and Minnesota Army National Guard. He's commanded at all levels of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, including the 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry, 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, and his most recent assignment is Commanding General of the 34th Infantry Division. Major General Jensen has also served as Deputy Commanding General, United States Army African Southern European Task Force, Minnesota National Guard Director of the Joint Staff, and Assistant Adjutant General Army. Major General Jensen is deployed in support of Operation Desert Spring, Kuwait, Operation Joint Forge in Bosnia, and Operation Iraqi Freedom. General Jensen, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here again with you.
Sir, first time we've had you in the studio as the boss, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs and the head of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. Congratulations, sir.
Thanks, Tom. It's an honor to serve in this position. I'm just very fortunate that Governor Dayton elected to appoint me to this position, and then following my longtime mentor, Major General Rick Nash, is means a lot to me, means a lot to my family as well to be able to serve in this role. I'm really excited about the next 7 years.
Sir, you, as I read, you were commissioned in 1989, but before that you served as an enlisted soldier, a combat medic.
That's correct. I enlisted in November of 1982 as a combat medic in HHC, 1st Battalion, 168th Infantry. Back in those days, 34th Brigade, 47th Infantry Division. Lowest rank a guy could come into the organization. I was a private E1, was lucky enough to ultimately get promoted to a staff sergeant, as a medic, and served, as the evac NCOIC, in that platoon. And then, was convinced to go to officer candidate school, and here I am.
So, sir, you started out in 1982 as a combat medic, taking care of your fellow soldiers. And now in 2017, you are the Adjutant General, still taking care of about 13,000 or so soldiers and airmen all over Minnesota.
Yeah, it's a remarkable journey that I've been on, and I've had just, so many people that have helped me along the way, both in Iowa and obviously here in Minnesota. And having the opportunity to serve with the 11,000 soldiers and our 2,000 airmen, it's a privilege, it's an honor, and I'm really humbled to have the job.
And General, as you indicated, that's a 7 year term. Somehow or other, I'm hearing a judge saying 7 years, you know, 7 years,
2,555 days, I think, is how it was described to me at one point. I'm not counting the days down yet. That's for sure. And so it sounds like a long time. Having been a part of General Nash's tour as the Adjutant General, I can tell you, I know it goes by fast, and I know, those last couple months as he reflected upon all the great accomplishments that took place during his 7 year tour, I know that he felt like it just went by too fast.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen, on Minnesota Military Radio. General, as the head of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard, your mission is different than active duty or reserves in that you have a combined federal and state mission. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, we have that dual mission. So, our first and most important mission, obviously, is prepare for war, to go execute the national security strategy, the national military strategy, anywhere that the Department of Air Force or the Department of Army orders us to do so. And so while in the Army and the Air Guard, most of our funding comes for that federal mission. But what we're able to do is take that training, take that equipment, and also apply it to domestic operations or our state mission. So, for example, earlier this year, we had two canoeists that had gone missing up in the Arrowhead area. And we were able to fly a UH-60 Blackhawk up there and use a night vision locate those two missing canoeists. And so While it was our federal equipment and our federal training that allowed us to accomplish that mission, it was our ability to serve in a state active duty or in our state role to actually go perform that mission. So it's very unique and only exists for the National Guard.
And your state mission here includes things like floods and Mother Nature wreaking havoc on the state and calling out your troops to help local authorities and working closely together with Homeland Security.
Yeah, and it's just not local as well, Tom. We did hurricane disaster relief this fall in both Texas, a little bit in Florida, and then in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands as well. And so there is a national ability to go respond anywhere in a state active duty role or in our federal role. Once a governor from a stricken state, you know, decides that that they need additional assistance. So it's just not here in Minnesota. We've fought wildfires out west before. We've assisted North Dakota in flood response, and then obviously the hurricane response all the way back to Hurricane Katrina to the most recent ones this fall.
So you need to be always ready, sir.
Always ready, always there. That's exactly what we say, Tom.
General, we've been doing the show for 7 years now, and you've been on it quite a few times, and I hope you'll be back on Memorial Day. We'll see about that. But it seems like the last 2-3 years, the Minnesota Army National Guard has been at the top of the training rotation with warfighter exercises in the National Training Center out in California. You're over to Europe a couple of times this year. It's been a busy time.
It has. The Army Guard has, we've been busy. We've been busy in part because our active force is small. And the demand for Army forces across the globe is very high. And so, you know, we take great pride in the readiness posture of our units. And it starts with enlisting and retaining great soldiers, great NCOs and great officers. And so, you know, it's hard. It's hard on the force. We're asked to do a lot. But I would rather have it that way than the other way, which is, our readiness would be so low that, we weren't ever called upon. And I've served in both armies before. I've served in the Army or the Army Guard that, you know, was not part of the bigger team. And I prefer this one over the previous one. And so our soldiers have responded tremendously. Recruiting remains very good. Our retention remains very good. Our units are at the highest levels of readiness when you compare them across the country, across not only just the Army Guard, but the United States Army as well. So we're very proud of that, and we will continue that.
And, sir, as an Army two-star general, Major General, in this position as Adjutant General for Minnesota, you've got two Air Force units underneath you, two Air National Guard units.
Yes, and I'm very excited about that. As a matter of fact, my first unit visit that I conducted as an adjutant general was up to 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth. That relationship is very important to me. We have just got two fabulous wings here in Minnesota, the 133rd here in Minneapolis and the 148th up in Duluth. Just do exceptional things every single year. You know, they deploy their airmen across the globe every year. We believe coming up in 2018, about 500 airmen will find their way somewhere across the globe in support of Air Force operations. And so we're very proud of them, and I look so forward to developing that relationship.
And, sir, two very separate missions, because the 133rd flies the C-130s and the 148th flies the F-16s, and they're both almost the newest or latest generation of those aircraft. So we're in pretty good shape, aren't we?
We're in great shape, and what's nice about this is I'm now just starting to understand the difference between the two. Now, I understand the difference between the two airframes, obviously, but in terms of how culturally they are different, flying a C-130 versus an F-16, but more importantly, the ribbing that they give each other back and forth as it relates to those two separate missions. And so I can't wait to fully be immersed into that.
Well, sir, as an old airman, I kind of understand that. I was part of the 133rd decades ago, but we were pretty proud of our brothers up in Duluth as well.
Yeah, you know, Tom, that was one of the things the 133rd, did report, and they finally feel like they've overcome your service with them.
After 30 years.
After 30 years. It took a while, but they're fully mission capable. No, just joking, Tom. We are lucky, and how great they are.
in general, you've got some great airmen and some wonderful soldiers out there, and federal mission, state mission. I can only imagine what the next 7 years are going to bring, but hopefully we'll be here reporting on your soldiers and airmen and the great job they do wherever they go.
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate that because, you know, whether it's the Army or the Air Force, it's really about our people. It's about our soldiers, our airmen, and our families, and we appreciate the opportunity to tell their stories here and highlight their stories here because it's the most important part of our organization are our people.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined today by Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen, who as of November 1st, 2017, became Minnesota's 31st Adjutant General. And prior to that, he was the division commander for the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls. And General, just an observation, when General Nash retired after his 7 years, seems like there were a few other officers that kind of reached the end of their career, and they retired. And when the governor appointed you to be the next Adjutant General, you had to move on from division commander. And there's been a couple of promotions lately. There's always a little bit of change, isn't there, sir?
Yeah, there always is a little bit of change. Anytime you replace a leader at the top of the formation, you know, cascades down. Like, for example, this last weekend, we were able to promote John Safstrom from colonel to brigadier general. John was the 148th Fighter Wing commander in Duluth, and we replaced him in command with Chris Blomquist and then had the great opportunity to promote him to brigadier. You know, that's just one example there. Our Air National Guard Command Chief, Kessler, just recently came on this last year. And so he, you know, he's one of our two senior NCOs. I have an Army senior NCO and an Air senior NCO, Doug Wortham and Paul Kessler. Great, great NCOs, great leaders, great men to be lucky enough to have both of them there to support me is wonderful. But, you know, the 34th Infantry Division, you know, Ben Correll, an officer that I've known since I was a captain, and he was a captain, replaced me at the division. Great officer to take that position. You know, Ben has commanded a battalion in combat, a brigade in combat, and now we'll deploy the division next fall. The division's very, very lucky to have him. I'm very lucky to have him as the division commander. And then down certain other levels, the 347th RSG, you know, we did a change of command there between Lowell Cruz and Steve Sheminar. We promoted Lowell Cruz as one of our assistant adjutant generals. He's a brigadier general now. And then the troop command, Colonel Troy Sukup went out of command, and Colonel Brian Farr went into that. So, you know, those are just a little bit of the leadership changes that have taken place in maybe the last quarter of 2017. But, you know, these are all men and in some cases women that I'm very familiar with. And so it's a great team. We have great junior leaders. And, you know, that's the thing about the military. No matter how good you are, no matter how great you are, you're going to retire at some point. Somebody's going to come in right behind you and probably do just as good a job.
And that's part of the culture, sir, because every year I think 8 to 10% of your force retires and you have to replace them at the bottom. And it's next man or woman up. And they've been training their entire career to take those leadership positions, whether they're officer or NCO. It looks, my observation just from the sidelines, sir, looks like your bench is pretty deep.
Yeah, it really is. We've put a lot of focus in leadership development. We'll continue to put a lot of focus on leader development. You know, anybody who stays in the military, you know, beyond their initial enlistment is going to become a leader, whether that's an E5 sergeant or, you know, a captain. As an officer. And so, you know, developing those young airmen, those young soldiers, those young officers to take on these leadership challenges, you know, it's our responsibility because we all will leave at some point. And, you know, the greatest testament to you as a leader isn't what you accomplish while you're there. It's what the unit accomplishes after you leave, because that's what you do. You prepare for the unit to be better after you leave.
And it's all about that training. Make sure your readiness status is as good as it can be because you never know whether it's going to be a state or federal mission coming up next. And you have to be ready, sir.
You do. You know, a couple months ago, if somebody had offered our soldiers or our airmen, you know, the opportunity to go to the Virgin Islands in October, they all would have said yes. But then the hurricane came through and we sent them to the Virgin Islands under completely different circumstances than what somebody would have thought. I mean, those that the hurricanes that went through there were just catastrophic. Nobody anticipated that 6 months ago that we would be doing something like that. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, General, we're talking to Major General John Jensen, Minnesota's Adjutant General on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, your Army and Air National Guard units have been involved in a lot of activities over the last couple of years. You want to tell us about a little bit of that and what you might think's coming up in the next couple?
Yeah, Tom, thanks for that. You know, in 2017, obviously, it was very busy, as it has been for quite some time. You know, just a couple, I think, highlights. We had two Army units come back from deployment, too. The 135 Infantry came back from their mission in the Sinai, the MFO mission. 682nd Engineers came back from their mission in Kuwait. The 133rd Air Wing deployed, you know, multiple airmen across the globe in their AEF mission. You know, that's just kind of a couple things we did in terms of deployments. But we also had part of our 1st Brigade over in Europe, you know, up in the Balkan states, as well as Sweden, supporting the European Readiness Initiative. We had multiple inspection cycles during the year. And, you know, the highlight there was with the 133rd and the 148th and their great report back from their capstone inspection. Both of those units received just the absolute highest rating that you could ever get. Our recruiting teams on both the Army and the Air continue to do the hard work of enlisting soldiers and airmen into our organization. And as part of that, you know, and part of our diversity effort, we earned 3 of the 5 national diversity awards that were given out by the National Guard last year. We've had construction, and in some cases, maybe even some deconstruction in that, the Duluth runway project up in Duluth caused us to move our F-16s down to Volk Field in Wisconsin. So we've been operating out of Volk Field for several months there. We opened up our Stillwater Training and Community Center, and it's truly a training and community center because we were partnered right there with the Stillwater Fire Department. They occupy the other side of that great facility. We talked about some of the personnel moves there. We signed up our 60th Yellow Ribbon Company just a couple weeks ago, the first week in December, with Hormel Foods, becoming the 10th of the 17 Fortune 500 companies here in Minnesota that have become Yellow Ribbon Companies. So we're incredibly proud of that. And then, you know, we were also able to accomplish something, as related to our family's assistance centers because of some national contracts being written incorrectly. We really did a disservice to those employees and were forced to cut their pay. And through the work of the Adjutant General's Association, as well as with our CODEL, we were able to go back and just recently get that contract rewritten. So we're going to be able to bring a better paying job into that position. Because, family assistance centers are so critical, not just to the National Guard, but to all service members in the state and their families in terms of their support. So it's been a very, very busy year. Next year, I'll just say, Tom, it's going to be busy as well. We anticipate, approximately 1,000 soldiers and 500 airmen will deploy at some point during calendar year 2018. And so, that's an uptick from the last year. So we're still very, very engaged globally.
It'll be a big year next year, sir, and one of the things that we were talking about before we went on the air was you've got some military police that have been down in Guantanamo for quite some time. Hope they'll be home for Christmas, sir.
Yeah, I agree. And, by the time this show gets out, we pray that they're all home safely and with their families where they should be.
General, just got a couple of minutes left. Sounds like it's going to be a busy year next year. You're going to have a lot of people deployed, and when they're deployed, their families are deployed. Which is why it's so important to have the Yellow Ribbon programs here to support the families while they're gone. Are you excited about the next couple of years, sir?
Oh, I'm very excited for what's coming up. Each year is a little bit unique, and the challenges and the opportunities are there. But, Tom, this is all about our soldiers, our airmen, and our families, and it's all about putting our people first. Readiness is the end state here, but you get the readiness through high-quality people. And so we're going to focus on our people. We're going to continue to focus on our partnerships like the Yellow Ribbon partnerships that you just mentioned, but it's really, it's beyond that as well. It's, you know, partnerships with all of our communities, all of our cities, everybody who wants to contribute to the great Minnesota National Guard and help us be, you know, remain the best National Guard in the nation.
Sir, we mentioned that every year you have so many soldiers and airmen retiring. It means you've always got to have recruiting for the young people to feed in the other end. If one of our listeners were out there and they're thinking about a career in the Army or Air National Guard, what would you have to say to them, sir?
Yeah, what I would say is don't worry about making it a career. Just come in and give it a try. We have great opportunities, whether that's college money if you're going to college or the development of some job skills, or if you're just interested in seeing a different part of the world, we're here for you. You know, if you're interested in serving your nation, interested in serving your community, you know, the Minnesota National Guard's here. We've got great units, great people, great community support, and so it's a great team to be a part of.
General, we're looking forward to telling the stories of your soldiers and airmen over the next few years on Minnesota Military Radio, and I'm looking forward to working with you and making sure everything goes well, sir.
Thanks, Tom. It's a privilege to be here with you again, and I'll be back on Memorial Day, if not sooner.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
That was Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been doing the annual Year in Review. In the first half of the show, we interviewed Minnesota National Guard's new Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. And this half, we're going to talk to the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo. Commissioner, welcome back to the studio.
It's good to be back, Tom.
It's always good to see you, sir. And you spent a lot of years in the Minnesota National Guard in the military.
Yep.
And ended up about 7 years as Adjutant General before General Nash.
Yep.
And now you spent quite a few years as the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Well, I'll be starting my eighth year, actually, very shortly, so.
My goodness, sir, you put in a lot of time.
Well, yes. Yes, it's I enjoy what I'm doing.
So. You went from a big job in the Minnesota National Guard to an even bigger job at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs because you've got way over 300,000 veterans to take care of in Minnesota.
I think the last number was like 353,000.
So a lot of folks to look after, sir.
You bet.
And a lot more women these days than when we first joined the military back in Vietnam.
That's correct. They are. And they do outstanding work. We're very, very, very. Very, very fortunate.
Yep, they're doing a great job. And
yep.
Our friend, Director Kelly, out at the Minneapolis VA, tells me that the women's clinics out there are just as modern as the rest of the place, and they're doing a great job of taking care of our lady veterans these days.
You know, and when I first started, too, the ladies have a greater attention to detail also, so they made them meet standard real quick. So.
And that's a great place out there.
It is.
Modern.
It's,
and
oh, yeah.
For the fifth year running, they got 5 stars, so I'm sure you enjoy working with Director Kelly and the Minneapolis VA.
You know, it's amazing, but Minnesota is truly blessed, and I think it's the people, the work ethic, the involvement, because, I mean— The Veterans Hospital and the Veterans Homes are standard all across the nation in many ways, but always the Minnesota is, I use the phrase, Minnesota is the second best state in the country. And the people say, well, why aren't you the first? And I'm saying that's because I don't want to get in an argument because everyone thinks they're number one. But when you ask them who's number two, so if I get 49 states saying Minnesota's number two, then we know we're the best in the country.
Very good, sir.
You bet.
Commissioner, we like to use the first half of our time here today to take a look at 2017 and kind of review what's going on. And I know that there was in Minnesota, there was a GI Bill expansion.
Yes. First of all, we very, very focused on when our veterans do come home, they get education is absolutely critical. And the military GI Bill was designed, it goes way back to really post-World War I, then in World War II, which transformed our country. But the goal is that we work very hard so that when we now pay for the testing, the licensure, the certification, so it's not just classroom, but of those who want to go into the trades or some other things, that we will work with them and help them obtain their licenses so that they can get a good, meaningful job. So that becomes very, very clear. And as you know, I spent about 30 years of my prior life in education. So it's a high priority for me, too.
Yes, sir. And last year in the legislature, they passed some legislation saying that retirement pay for our military here in Minnesota now is tax-free. And that's got to have a great impact here as well.
Yes, I did not hear of anyone who receives money complain. But that has been a long fun. And there's a lot of states that have been doing it for years. In fact, it was almost a negative in the sense that we lost some qualified people who, instead of coming to Minnesota, went to other states because of that factor, especially those that were coming off their active duty full-time careers. And then they get a choice. Do I go back to Minnesota or do I go to Arizona or Texas or someplace else that makes that tax deductible? So
if they come back to Minnesota, they're bringing their retirement funds with them and they're spending them here.
That's right.
And I know that there's a lot of federal compensation for veterans that experience some kind of problem and are due some compensation. And it has a big impact on our economy.
And that's the beauty of the partnership with the VA. Hospitals and so forth, making sure that that they'll get their exit and then they'll also get the treatment. But also the ratings become a critical. For example, I have a hearing issue, and the VA has given me my golden little earbuds so I can hear better. But it's a small compensation just to help me take care of that.
Collectively, all that compensation has a good impact on the economy of Minnesota.
Yeah, actually, and I've told, I don't know if we'll talk about this a little bit later too, but I told a lot of county commissioners one of the biggest problems I have with the counties is they don't see a lot the economic impact of veterans in their county because all of that compensation goes directly to the veteran. And when you get to that age, it might be Social Security, it might be this and so forth. They don't run around and saying, see, I'm off your welfare roll because I'm getting this compensation, I'm getting this, benefit. And they just, they're proud. And
they're spending their money right here at home in Minnesota,
yeah,
which
helps
everybody.
I have buried in here my notes, a figure, but veterans bring back to the state, it's debating, it's between, it's well over $1 billion. That goes back into the transparency of our economy.
It keeps everything going, doesn't it?
Yeah, okay. Minnesota is still a net taxpayer, so.
So it works good for Minnesota and everyone here. Commissioner, the veterans' homes, you take care of. There's two sides of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. There's programs and services and then the veterans' homes. And some years ago when you inherited those programs, some of those homes were having some trouble, but recently I understand you've won just a whole load of awards.
Well, okay, here we go. The homes, we have won 64 best-in-class awards, which is rated by the federal VA system. That includes a top nursing home award and five, what we call the five-star ratings. And that's the highest that you can get. And Silver Bay was one of them that received that. The Department of Human Services Aging and Disability Odyssey Award was presented to our Adult Day. And the Adult Day is the ability for families to keep the veteran at home, but they can drop them off and they're taken care of all day and so forth, treated, and they're with friends and fellow veterans, and then they can be picked up after work, if you will. So that's important.
Sir, we've had them on the show, and it's one of two adult day centers in the nation, and we've got it right here out at the Minneapolis Veterans Home, and it's pretty important right about this season because if the veteran needs some care, you can drop them off over there. They get well taken care of and fed, and you can go out to the mall and do your Christmas shopping.
Yes, and it's
a pretty good program.
Oh, it is, and that it's well received. Leading Age, which is the kind of the umbrella organization for all senior homes in the state of Minnesota, has given us given the Adult Day the Stars Among Us. So it's a trend that is emerging even more so across the country. We also received a Better Government Award from the state for something Laverne has been doing, and that's using music and integrating that in with a memory program to just help the veterans be more relaxed and comfortable. They also been certified for what we call CMS certification, which may not mean as much other than the fact that it opens up the financial door for federal funding reimbursements, and that becomes critical. And all of our homes, with Fergus being the last, which will have that completed really this next year, every veterans home in the state of Minnesota will be CMS certified.
Commissioner, we've only got about a minute left, but we finally got some funding to fix the bridge out at the veterans home.
Yes, and actually, and it's interesting, but there was only one route in and one route out, and that was a life safety issue. So that moved right to the top of the list. And then we have a number of legislators that live in that area and know about that issue, so it became more personal to the, even the decision makers.
So that work will take place next year, I hope?
It's being done right now as we speak. Yeah.
So, fantastic.
And then if I have time, one thing I'm very, very proud of in my education background, we've partnered with St. Catharines, and they're training their future RN nurses and so forth, and they do shadowing and work with our Minneapolis homes. So we're actually a training site for the universities to have future medical practitioners, if you will.
What a wonderful
campus.
Wonderful partnership with a great ladies' college, St. Catharines in St. Paul. Commissioner, we're just about out of time for this segment. When we come back, I want to talk about looking forward and seeing what 2018 is going to bring for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Larry Shelato, who is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And in the third segment, we covered 2017, sir. And in the fourth segment, we want to talk about some things that are coming up in 2018. And I've got to open up with Phase 3 that we talked about at the Minneapolis Veterans Home. Just a few years ago, we had the then American Legion Commander Don Pancake in the studio here, and he was pounding on the table, and he said, we need to get the money for Phase 3, and it got done that year, and I understand you're going to open up building number 22 on the Minneapolis campus.
That's correct. It's one of those drawings that goes, man, it goes back 7 years. And like it's a nice picture on paper. Is it going to happen? And Phase 1 was completed. Then Phase 2. And then, as you talked about with the financing fight of Phase 3, and it's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. The campus is going to be a gem nationwide. It's just the location with the Mississippi River and the Minnehaha Creek. It's beautiful that way. But it's also something that will give quality care to our veterans. I'm very, very proud and pleased with that. It's just,
and we get that bridge back opened up, and you'll have two entrances on and off. And this is one of the things that you work together with what you call your board of directors, the Commander's Task Force.
Oh, yes.
Which is made up of the commanders of the nine
congressionally
federally chartered
authorized. Yep, you bet.
Veteran service organizations. And we have them in on and off the show all the time, sir.
And well, thank you for doing that, too, because the beauty of this show is that you've allowed them to take stronger ownership. I mean, you've strengthened. This show has helped strengthen the veteran service organizations because – now, you mentioned Don Pancake, for example.
Former department commander.
And now that was about 4 years ago you interviewed him?
Well, he left a mark on a table. He pounded the table so loud the listeners could hear him.
And people still remind him of that. And
they do.
So, you know, that's the impact this show has. And I just want to say publicly thank you for all the work that you have done. You've got, what, 47 stations now?
47 and counting, sir.
It's just phenomenal. And I want to add something else, too. It's opened up opportunities. That's not strange, but we had a retired dentist that said, I would like to have a dental clinic on the Minneapolis campus. And so what we have is came in, did all health and design work, setting it up. It's partnering with local dentists in the community, and this will be the first fixed dental clinic in the country.
And that's going to be out at the Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Commissioner, there's two things that are kind of fun. One is we get a new set of commanders for the veteran service organizations every year, and we have to go introduce ourselves, tell them what we're doing.
Yep.
They come on the show. By the time they come back for the second or third time that year, they say, I can't go anywhere in Minnesota. There are people who haven't said they heard me on the radio, which is kind of fun. And the other proof in the pudding is when we have one of your people on and we talk about a topic, your phones ring.
Yeah.
So we're able to tell some stories about resources that are available, how to get help, where to get help, everything from suicide to services at the VA hospital to programs and services from your department. It's great fun to tell those stories, sir.
You bet. And it's, and like I say, we're a major business in the state of Minnesota in bringing money back to the state of Minnesota. And the beauty of this show and the energy that you've given to the veterans communities, they now have a tool, a technique, a procedure, a process to move these issues forward back home in their county and their community. And it's synergistic, and it's getting better all the time. So we're very, very excited about that.
Commissioner, your predecessor, I think his name was Pugliese, was the former commissioner.
Yes.
And when I first met him, when we just started the show, he said, you know, the legislature gave us all this money for these programs and services and homes, but nobody knows it's available. How are we going to get that story out? And now 7 years later, we've had your people on. We're told you're not the best kept secret anymore, sir.
That's right.
That's a great thing.
If there's one accomplishment, I'd say that's the one. I want to thank you for helping me do that.
Commissioner, we've also been able to cover the Little Falls Veterans Ceremony and the opening of the Preston Veterans Cemetery, which I understand is a beautiful place.
Oh, gorgeous.
Something like the big federal cemetery out in Washington, D.C., they tell me.
Well, the number one complaint I got with Preston was from deer hunters. They said that was the best deer hunting land in the whole area. But it's right down. Then you get if you don't get a deer, then you go down and do some trout fishing.
And next year you're getting one open up in Duluth.
That is correct. The Duluth Cemetery is under construction. It should be completed in April, and it'll be our third. It's roughly 104 acres of fully developed when it's fully developed, and it'll have about 15,000 burial sites. And it's something I think that's extremely important because that northeast Minnesota has produced a lot of veterans over the years, and the ability for family to go and visit loved ones. And I'm very, very proud of Preston, Little Falls, and now the Duluth one. And we're looking, and it's on the books pretty soon here for a fourth one. There's a couple communities, one in particular that's kind of favored, but I won't mention that just to be safe.
So, Commissioner, for our veterans, they've always had the opportunity to be buried in a national veterans cemetery like Fort Snelling.
Yes.
But since we've developed the state veterans cemeteries, Little Falls, Preston, and now you're going to open up in Duluth,
mm-hmm.
the family has a choice to bury their veteran closer to home so that they can go visit more often.
Oh, yes. And as strange as it seems, every now and then I get up toward Camp Ripley. I know you do, too.
Yes, sir.
And I make a point of driving through the cemetery. But there hasn't been a time I haven't seen at least one person standing next to a tombstone, just reflecting.
And it's a beautiful place, and it's very well kept.
And the eagles love it. They fly over it. I mean, it's just surreal.
And those murals that are in that building up on the wall representing each of the services are incredible as well. So for our listeners out there on their way up to the lake next summer or this winter, stop in there and take a look at that. And go inside, look at those murals. Those state cemeteries are very well done, sir.
You bet. Yeah. When they drive by that tank on one side of the road, they know that it's getting ready to turn in to go to the cemetery shortly.
And while they're there, they might as well stop at Camp Ripley and look at the museum, the Minnesota Military Museum.
Best kept secret in the state of Minnesota.
They've got a new special room back there for us Vietnam veterans. Have you seen that, sir?
I saw that when it was being constructed, yes.
We did a show up there together, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Almost forgot that one. So there's a lot to see in Minnesota, and there's a lot to do, and you've got some great staff working for you over there. You've got a couple of deputy commissioners, and you've got a chief of staff in there that's working like crazy, isn't it?
It's kind of strange, but it's principle of management too, I think, and that sort of like the less I do, the better I get, because you just simply say, here's what we'd like to do, and you just listen to their ideas as well as having a goal and a direction in which to move. it's just been phenomenal. We have I would put our agency up against any of them in the country.
And of course, you get to spend a lot of quality time with our state legislators to explain what you're doing and why and what you need, and then give top cover to all your staff.
Well, yes, I mean that's just I'll catch the arrows, you know. They're all pros. I mean, I'm just so proud of them. I just can't explain it other than the fact that Minnesota can be very, very proud. So if you haven't contacted your county veteran service officer or even us at the state, you've got a system that don't worry about the old stuff, or maybe you had a problem way back when. Forget about it. Contact us. Take a look at it, because we're in great shape.
Commissioner, we're almost out of time. I've just got to ask you, I keep hearing you say, bring our veterans all the way home. What's that about, sir?
It's kind of interesting, but I was on a flight here, and sitting next to me was a young Marine coming home for Christmas. And it's all about family. It's all about this. And when you come back home, there's a lot of things that we kind of left over there and so forth. But by all the way home, people want to get back. Stranger is the same as to the way it was. You know, they want to get back on with their life and their family, and they want to do things. And that's making sure that they're capable of doing it, because there's a lot of memories, a lot of issues, flashbacks, if you will. You and I both know what they are. It's just making sure that they're taken care of and honored.
Things change. You can't get back to the way it was, but you can get to a pretty good place.
Very good place, and even a better place if it's done right. And no more, Vietnam welcome homes that didn't happen. But it's now they're taken well care of. Yes, just say thank you.
Yes, sir. Commissioner, I want to thank you for joining us in the studio again today, and I hope you have a terrific year in 2018.
We will. We'll have a great year.
Thank you, sir. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Commissioner Larry Shelleto, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we review 2017 with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.